Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs a Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. Funny story, I am toothless. I am missing a front tooth.
What?
So, yeah. So, if you hear me lisping a little bit on this podcast, now you know why.
When did this happen? What happened?
So, I actually, when I was a kid, I got in a bike accident at about 13. And, busted my front middle tooth in half, and it's never been the same. So I have a cap on it, and I bit into an apple yesterday, and that was all she wrote for my tooth. So if I am lisping a little bit, please forgive me. So,
oh my goodness, that's you know it's so funny because I go in for my first dentist appointment in a few years tomorrow.
Well, that's the funny thing. I literally saw my dentist last week, so now I got to call him and be like, "Yeah, I need to get back in like as soon as possible."
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so that's super fun. Well, anyway, so if I sound a little S-y today, if my S's are a little bit more prominent, now you know why.
But that's
if I have a hard time saying Tom Thibodeau.
You're pulling a deli right now.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I'm gutting it through. Well, it's not as if it was a dead tooth, so it's not as if, like, you know, I'm in great pain or anything. It was.
I don't care. No, you gotta talk that up and milk it out. You know.
There you go. Yeah. Well, so my kids have already. Actually, my friend already renamed my Netflix account Apple Tooth. Apple Tooth is now my profile. So, and I'm like, well, you can't call it Apple Tooth. You got to call it iTooth. So,
oh, right, yeah.
There you go. But yeah, so it's been an adventurous weekend for me. And of course, I had my bowling league last night, and I was very happy I was masking the entire time. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. I feel a bit like a hillbilly, but hey, I'm gutting it out. So there we go.
Goodness. Wow.
So a fun football weekend this weekend. The Browns won. And as, you know, I read, anytime that three AFC Central fan bases can put aside their differences and celebrate the collapse of the Steelers, it is a it is a good thing, as you were telling me before the podcast.
Who day, baby? Who day? That's what's up. Oh my goodness. I mean, I heard the rumors about how bad Ben had looked, but I hadn't really seen him, you know? And from what I saw today, oh my goodness!
It's over.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it, because, like, as a Bengals fan, like, I will not believe Big Ben is done until he's, you know, out of the league. You know what I mean? Like, I refuse to believe he's done until I've seen him retire. So, but he looked toast. I couldn't believe it. I cannot believe it. So, oh my goodness! I told you before we started recording, I'm so jazzed, and it's because Big Ben sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tell me how you really feel. And the Browns look good today.
Oh, man. Well, it's beautiful.
26-6.
Man, you know, the Bengals and the Browns haven't been at the top in such a long... It's been, like, since the 80s. You know what I mean? Like, it's literally been since the 80s. So, it's a, you know, all we need is the Mark Price, you know, Brad Daugherty Cavs to appear. So,
yeah, and we have a lot of Cavs news over the weekend as I try not to lisp through the podcast here. There was Kevin Love news, him on, so this is pretty funny. He was on, what is it? The Shop, which is really funny because before the new one dropped, I was actually watching the old one with him and like, from the first season when he was talking about mental health, and it was like him and Gronk and, you know, talking about Tom Brady and LeBron James just being wired different. And, you know, Kevin Love talked a lot about mental health on that particular episode of The Shop, which is LeBron James's, you know, barbershop show.
Okay. I wasn't kind of, exactly sure what the show was, but I didn't even know that it was a LeBron show at all.
Yeah. So super fun. Basically, Kevin Love just says, you know, about Jerry Colangelo's comments, and it was F that, F him, basically.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, and the best part, though, is Wanda Sykes looks at the screen and goes, F you, Jerry! Which I think is completely classless because you just, like I said, you don't do that to a guy that's making a sacrifice to your team. And of course, Kevin Love said one of the things that he wanted somebody to point the finger to in case they lost. They could right. say, well, you know, part of it was because we didn't have a big man because we were counting on Kevin Love.
Yep.
Yeah. But
yeah, no, absolutely. I was telling you before we started recording, like what stood out to me about, his little, the little clip was, the fact that he was talking to LeBron about the situation.
Yeah. Which was, well, he should have been.
Yeah. Right. Right. So it's cool that, like, it's just funny to reflect and know, like, these guys have such a close bond and are able to talk about, you know, basketball issues like that.
Really- well, and, you know, one of the things about Kevin and, you know, I feel like the off season has been so negative that I'm actually happy to see, you know, negative in terms of Kevin Love. I'm happy to see Kevin Love fired up and excited and having something to prove, having a chip on his shoulder. That I'm excited about that. And, you know, I'm honestly like, F the haters. You know, like, I feel like so many people have gotten so down on Kevin Love. I'm ready to go the other way now. I'm like, yeah, well, just F them, Kevin.
Yeah.
Light it up.
It's so funny. Like, I mean, he won us a championship. I mean,
right.
You shouldn't have to buy a beer in Cleveland ever again. Like,
yeah, he made one of the three biggest plays in the history of the Cavs.
Exactly.
The block, the shot, and the stop, and this, the block, the shot, and the stop. Yeah. He made the stop, you know?
Exactly. That's what's even more mind-blowing is the fact that he did something that he actually is not great at, you know, but put the effort in.
Oh, he was tremendous.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's the hope, you know? I mean, like...
Yeah, to me, like, Kevin Love should have so much more grace than he gets and get so much more of the benefit of the doubt over, you know... playing with a bunch of young kids who've never won anything. And I'm fine with them. And, you know, Kevin Love makes a lot of money. And from a, you know, actually being available standpoint, hasn't lived up to that contract. But that's not his fault. That's – and he's not going to give back the money, nor should he. So,
yeah,
I'm excited to see what Kevin Love can bring this year and what his role is. And I – you know, one thing you can say about Kevin Love – is he never talks out of church. You know, he's never said a bad word about LeBron. I've never seen him dog a teammate. You know, you can see his frustrations, but he leaves it on the court and he leaves it in the locker room. You know, yeah, and a lot, I mean, he's not a guy that throws his teammates under the bus.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Like, I think there have been moments, he's had bouts of unprofessionalism and frustration, which is understandable because he wants to win. You know
what I mean? Well, yeah.
You know, and that's what he, like, it's so weird, like, you know, when they gave up on the, they gave up on the plans like 10 games into that season.
Into the, Collins, the,
yeah.
Yeah, Collins rookie season. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know, I can't, if I was Kevin Love back then, I'd be like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
you know,
I just signed a 4-year extension. Service. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, so the bouts of unprofessionalism and, you know, whatever are on him. But as a general thing, like, he's the one that's had the success in the organization. Literally, who else has, you know, like, who else can talk to him about how to win in the NBA, you know?
Yep.
So,
yeah, no, he's the reigning veteran on the team. So I'm hoping he is a great presence this year and he's ready to kick some ass. So.
that'd be awesome. I know. Yeah. It's lonely on Love Island, isn't it?
Yeah, and so in other, I guess, tangentially Cavs-related news, you've got the Ben Simmons trade watch, which hasn't really moved much since last week other than Ben Simmons' teammates were going to get on a plane and fly out to see him, and he told them not to bother. He doesn't want to see him, and he doesn't want to be back. And, you know, there's a lot. I really enjoyed the, I don't know if it was a meme, but the report basically was that, you know, a lot of the reason the Sixers are saying nice things about Ben Simmons is not because they actually mean it. They just want to build his trade value back up.
Oh, sure. Right.
Yeah. which is super funny. And we've seen a lot of fake trades. You know, I think there was that one going around where it was like 4 firsts from the Cavs plus like Rubio and Sexton.
Wow.
Or not Rubio and Sexton, Rubio and Chetty. And I think three of them were top, 2 or 3 of them were top 4 protected. And that seems pretty steep, but if you're not giving up any part of your core, maybe that makes sense. But, I have a hard time seeing the Cavs doing that. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, this is the first I've heard it. And you said it was just Rubio and Chetty is what it was.
Yeah. Just 4 first rounders.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the 4 first rounders is ludicrous. Like, because they would go so far into the future. You know what I mean? Like, what are those last 2 picks? They've got to be in like, you know, the 2030s or something. You know what I mean? Or something crazy, you know, well beyond.
I believe it's like 2027 or 2028.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, to the end of the decade? Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, I could see giving up the picks that you have been, like, whatever's commensurate with the length of Simmons' contract, you know, would be fair game, I would think, or a fair price to pay if you're Cleveland. But, like, beyond that, I mean, does Ben want to stay beyond the 4 years? I don't know. You know, there was those rumors that he wanted to go to L.A. or California was like his preferred destination. So L.A. or Golden State, I think. So, I mean, I just can't. Morey's waiting to take it. Like, Morey's waiting to take advantage of a sucker. Let's not be the suckers. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, like, he's...
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He's asking for a ludicrous price. You know, why are... You know, if anything, I don't know. Like, don't you think the price goes down if this goes into the season?
You would think. It's going to be a huge distraction.
Yeah.
And...
There
The longer he sits, the less valuable he is to the Kings. You know. Or not the Kings. Sorry, I was just reading
I thought that was a
No, it was not a joke, but no, I was just reading a report that said, you know, this is from yesterday. It said, it's a done deal. The Kings is a done deal. Of course, I don't actually believe that. But, I mean, it's...
I think the Kings and the Cavs are getting played here or used here as, like, to drive up the price for either Golden State or, you know, God knows who. I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be Golden State because, of course, Joe Lacob got fined last week. You heard about that. Happened? Because he was basically saying, we don't think Ben Simmons would be a good fit. We don't think he's a great fit with, you know, Draymond Green. And, you know, they can't. Yeah. And we can't really share the floor, you know, so we don't have a lot of interest there. And of course, he was fine for that because, you know, well, it is because not only is it tampering to drive the value of a player up, but if you are making comments in public driving the value of a player down, that's also tampering, you know. No, I don't have a problem with the fine. I think it's warranted.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, and he falls out of bed and makes, I think it was $50,000.
Oh, okay. So it was just pocket change.
Yeah, yeah. Was
lunch money.
He didn't buy that ivory back scratcher this week. That's an old Simpsons joke.
It was a good one.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly... I don't know how long it's going to go on. I mean, I've seen the three-team deals with John Wall and, you know, the Cavs and Kevin Love. And I think
he's gone. Do you think he gets moved before the season starts?
I just think they want more value than he has. And I think Daryl Morey thinks he can get a really good haul for him. And I just don't know if the demand is there, especially at the salary that he is making.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think they're screwed because no matter what, I mean, this is what I heard from somebody else, but and I think it was a Philly fan, is that they're going to get the crappy end of this trade no matter what. They're going to be trading the best player in that trade no matter what. You know what I mean? They're not going to get plus value for Ben Simmons in any trade. I mean, wouldn't you think?
No, they're not. Well, the problem is, you know, they have a win now roster. And if you are taking a bunch of young players, that those guys aren't win now players that you're getting back.
So, so the theory goes is that Morey's really looking for picks. So he could spin those picks into either does Dame become available, does Beal become available,
right?
You know, the same old song and dance.
Yeah. And I think the longer it goes on, the more painful it's going to become. Now, if I was Ben Simmons, I would absolutely show up, talk to no one, be a total asshole, and basically get force their hand, but
do the Harden, play no defense.
Yeah, you know, go out to the club, but but yeah, until something changes there, all we can do is speculate. So
yeah, it'll be very interesting. Yeah,
and we'll do a bit more speculation about some other stuff after the break.
Cool. Good catch.
Oh, whoops. Ew. Welcome back to Kaz the Podcast. So. Oh, we got a little beer crack in action there, huh? What you opening up there, Chris?
I know, that's why I was just trying to look at the can here. It is, I know it's a, okay, it's called Jam Up the Mash. It's a dry hopped sour from Collective Arts, Collective Arts in Wanakee, Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
Collective Arts Brewery.
Yeah. Where'd you get that? Down in your neck of the woods.
I got it at a Wegmans.
Oh, I don't even know what a Wegmans is.
Oh, you don't know what Wegmans is?
No, what's Wegmans?
Grocery store.
Okay.
I think they originated in like Syracuse, New York.
Okay.
Or, you know, somewhere upstate New York, basically. And, no, it's a really nice grocery store. And they have a decent selection of beer. And I just wanted to pick up something random.
Mission accomplished.
Exactly. But I just knew it would be good because it's a dry hop sour. So it's...
That is an odd combo. Because dry hop beers are usually pretty earthy.
Exactly.
And sours are pretty tart. So
exactly. So I'm telling you, the combination of the two is really good. There was actually another brewery that did a combo of those two flavors. Can't remember it offhand, and it's hard to find. But I just saw dry hop sour, so that's my pitch.
Yeah, I actually really like dry hopped beers. So one of my favorites is Shorts Brewing is a dry hopped double brown ale. So it's called Good Humans, one of my favorite beers.
Hey, good name. So, I like that.
And I'm just sitting here drinking a Pepsi Zero Sugar, and yeah. So enough Pepsi and independent brewing plugs here. Let's get back.
That was good. That was good, though.
So the Cavs signed a guy today. Literally signed a guy named Kyle Guy.
Hey,
yeah, it's the joke writes itself.
Yeah, there you go. He's a UVA.
Yeah.
Charlottesville.
Yeah, and just what the Cavs needed, another 6'1" combo guard. But he's a training camp guy, going to be fighting for a two-way.
He can shoot.
And he played for the Kings last year, right? Or was it? Yeah, was it? Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. Got a lot of people to beat out, including Kevin Pangos, but you got to think, you know, they're hoping for a G League guy there, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, two-way guy.
They're definitely making an effort to find some shooters. So with Kevin Pangos, Kyle Guy, Laurie, so they're trying to find every shooter that there's possibly out there, I guess.
And speaking of shooters, we have a report this week that Dylan Windler is going to be ready for training camp, which is great. Yeah, Chris Fedor on the Hey Chris mailbag this week said he could, quote unquote, have a prominent role for the Cavs.
That makes 100% sense to me, and it's welcome news, A, that he's healthy, but B, I mean, it seems like they're putting a lot of chips in his basket for this season at backup wing. I don't know what you think.
Oh, yeah, no, I think he will get a lot of minutes at the bench wing. You know, the ability to play the two and the three. They even played him some at the four in some small ball lineups last year. Yeah. And he looked like a decent rebounder, but...
He's an interesting case where he can't defend at the point of attack. He's just too slow-footed for guards who can move, that are agile, can really move off the dribble. But he's a great help defender. He has great metrics as far as, I mean, his block rate and his steal rate are definitely above average. And he was, he was essentially a rookie, playing last year. And he can rebound, like you said. So he has some traits as a help big defender, or a weak side wing defender or whatever. He has some traits that could work, at least if he doesn't have to defend on the ball. So as a 3-4 type, what I mean?
Absolutely. And he had a great stretch last year. I think in February, the last week of February, he had a three-game stretch where he had 15, 13, and 8. And he went 5 of 6, 4 of 4, and 3 of 7. in that stretch. And at one point, it made 9 threes in a row, I believe. So he can definitely shoot, but he's also a guy that has never, like, that's the only time in his entire Cavs career we really ever gotten a rhythm.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
And then, of course, he got hurt, about a month later and was out the rest of the year.
Yeah. You can really tell with him, especially what became apparent, especially with his turnovers, was just that the speed of the game offensively, I mean, just the speed of the game in general, he was just a tick, you know, like you said, he was just in rhythm for a very short period of time. And it was just, he never got the playing time, consistent playing time to really catch that rhythm and keep a more consistent rhythm, you know? So,
yeah. And positionally, I feel like they need to lock him into one or two roles and get him comfortable before they try these things like, you know, running him at the four or running, you know, doing all these weird things. Just like give him a consistent role, let him do that. And then once that is accomplished, then kind of, you know, try him out in some of these other areas. But like we said, his rebounding numbers and his block and steal rates were actually pretty solid. Despite his shooting or his inconsistency, he did have a 57 true shooting percentage, which is not bad. It's quite just below league average, but like I said, he had his moments. So we'll see. I certainly, especially if some of these trades come around, like if Chetty is gone, I got to think he's going to get a much bigger role. And the big thing with him will be, can he stay healthy? I'm rooting for him.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
100%. You know,
I mean, has he been with the team 2 years now? 3 years?
I think this is his third year. Right? Yeah.
Yep. And he's played like basically 10%, 20% of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, and if the Cavs trade for Ben Simmons, they'll have somebody on the same age on the team. Because they're only like 2 months apart in age.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like these guys that stayed forever in college versus these guys that came out, you know, super young.
It was a good idea in theory. It just really never panned out. And it sucks that Keldon Johnson was, you know, associated with the pick, you know?
Yeah, I think the big, you know, one of the takeaways that concerns me a little, and I think, you know, Dave Zavak of formerly at Fear the Sword may still be from Fear the Sword, but, you know, he had a big kind of rant on Twitter that basically older wings, the success rate on drafting older wings is extremely low. And it's so low, you should never, ever draft one in the first round. bring one in as a restricted free agent or, you know, take a flyer as a second round. But it's just not, it just doesn't generally work out. So and probably likely because, you know, they're not athletic enough and they aren't, if they were, they'd be gone already. So.
Right. I mean, it's so funny. Like, in a league star for wings, there's like literally just 5 of them that are elite, you know, and then the rest is like whatever.
Yeah. No, and there's a lot of guys out there, but you definitely have to carve out a role. Like, are you a defender?
Exactly.
Right. Are you a 3-and-D? Are you a slasher / cutter? Are you a guy that's going to, you know, shoot off of pin downs and that kind of thing? Are you just catch and shoot guy? You know, it's definitely the case that you need to find yourself a role. And one of the things a guy I follow on Twitter said today, he was like, he preferred Kyle Guy to Denzel Valentine because what was it he said? I don't like my 13th men to think they are as good as Denzel Valentine thinks he is. Because he has far too much confidence in his own abilities.
He's a like, confidence guy.
Yeah, but not in a good way. Like, very irrational. Yeah. Never met a shot he didn't like. Oh, God. Speaking of irrational confidence, guys, did you hear the Jordan Clarkson story from this week?
No, but are you talking about a clip about him?
Yeah, there was. It's super funny. So the local TV station did a man on the street thing, and they just happened to pick Jordan Clarkson. It was like a man on the street Utah Jazz interview. It was like, are you a big Jazz fan? He's like, yeah. Do you go to a lot of games? He's like, yeah, I go to a lot of games. Like, it was just, they didn't even realize that he played for the Jazz. It was super funny, and he was a really good sport about it. So if you get a chance, check out that kid.
I feel like that's staged. That's too good.
Right, but it couldn't happen anywhere other than Utah either. Like, you know what I mean?
You're right. Oh, my God. It cracks me up.
Yeah, no, it was super funny. He was a great sport about it, and they apologized to him, and he was like, no, it's no big deal. It was a lot of fun. But he was super nice of it. He was very polite.
I love Jordan Clarkson, man. Like,
I celebrated the entire Jordan Clarkson experience.
Yeah, man. Like people like love to rag on him and his game or whatever, but like I don't know, like I, you know, he actually really blossomed here in Cleveland.
He did.
He really changed and just took his game to another level here in Cleveland.
He did. Yeah. He did. And you know, one of the things, I used to call him Chucky Clarkson, because he would just chuck every single shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But if you're going to be that guy, make them and make them at a high level. And he did. And that's why he's a great bench player.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's why he's a reigning sixth man.
Yeah, and I really think the way he blossomed in Cleveland was he learned to make that pass, the obvious pass, you know?
Yeah.
And when he finally learned to make the obvious pass, like it kind of like freed him up to shoot that, you know, then he knew he wasn't hogging all the shots, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. So,
well, and the other thing is once you learn to make the obvious pass, you can fake it. And then, you know, you just do the ball pump and then you jack it. I mean, just the willingness to pass. There's a study this week around, I think it was around Eric Gordon, and about how...
I meant to read that. The 538 story, right?
Yeah, about how the threat of shooting a three-pointer is actually just as important to spacing as actually being good at shooting three-pointers. Like, because you're getting the defense to respect you. And I feel like that's a lot of what happens when Kevin Love is on the floor for the Cavs.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I mean, you know, what's funny is, double back to that. I mean, it's funny, as bad as Kevin Dog did on defense, I mean, he was still probably the best offensive player that the Cavs have, yet still. You know what I mean? Even in his 33-year-old state. Now is this season's probably the point where Garland and Sexton probably surpass him. But I mean, he still knows how to play the game. And it was all, and to your point about spacing, that's exactly what it was. Like when they asked Kobe about this, you know, at the year end press conferences and whatever the case was, the offseason stuff, that's exactly what he said about Kevin's impact on the offense, is that everybody in the NBA respects Kevin Love's offensive game. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what.
Well, okay. Everyone but Drew Holiday. Because Drew Holiday owns him better than any player I've ever seen. But,
man, you're so right.
But other than Drew Holiday.
He owns everybody, though, right?
Yeah. No, he's really good. But he really knows how to guard Kevin. I think that goes back to their UCLA days.
Oh, did they play?
I believe they did.
Oh, crap.
Or they were a year apart.
Yeah, no, they might have, because I don't know.
So now I got to see what year he came out. So 2010, and when did Love come out?
Good question. I mean, it's got to be.
And nope, same year, yeah.
Yep, exactly.
So oh no, Kevin Love was a year earlier. So yeah, they were a year apart at UCLA.
Wait, but did they have at one point in time Drew Holiday, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Love?
No, they were a year apart because Love and Westbrook were one and doneers, I believe.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, I mean. Yeah, but I'm sure they went back and played against each other in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm excited to see what Kevin Love brings to the Cavs. And we'll get into more Cavs news when we're back from the break. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I'm here with Chris Francis. And Chris Francis, how's that beer?
Okay, I am endorsing Collective Arts Jam Up the Mash. It is
nice.
Excellent. Dry hop sour. If you like hoppy beers that have a little bit of a tartness to them, it is fantastic. And a cool can too. Like some artsy can.
Okay, you'll have to take a picture for the cover there.
Oh yeah. Okay. Good call. Good call.
What is it called? Jam Up the Works?
Jam Up the Mash.
Jam Up the Mash, right. Yeah. Because the mash is, of course, your first stage of brewing when it's all, you know, I have brewed. Yes, I brewed. Oh. I brewed like a half a dozen beers. Like the first one of my favorite ones I've ever done, we did a Kolsch, which is a really hard beer to say when you're missing a front tooth. But also, just one of the, it is a lager that drinks like an ale. And everything I've read is if there's a beer that tastes better when it's homebrewed than it does when you buy it bottled, it's a Kolsch because they are pretty fragile. And they just don't last outside of, you know, for too long. So you want them fresh. Same thing with brown ales. But yeah, Kolsch was great. I made one year I made a blackberry pale ale, and I will never do it again.
Oh, really? Not good?
No, it was great. The problem was I used like blackberry pie filling, and all the little seeds were so hard to strain out. That was the problem. Like, I kept getting seeds in my spigots.
You're totally screwed.
So, I mean, honestly, it's one of those things where you probably should just get a syrup afterwards. Like, a lot of times when they do those fruit beers like that, they'll do what they call cold crash them so that they'll kill all the yeast off, and then they'll basically just inject the sugars after so you don't over ferment. They'll inject like a syrup. Yeah, I did that one year with. So I've done a couple times up at the Brew Kettle up near Cleveland. They have brew your own beer. It's actually a really good deal because I think it costs like anywhere between 120 to 150 bucks. But you literally get like 70 22-ounce beers. So like you can't beat that for the price. But you got to provide your own bottles.
Right.
Or you got to buy them from them. And it's really cool because you can do like these custom labels. So you do your own graphics and give them the custom labels and they'll print them for you. And it's a lot of fun. So I did, when my wife turned 42, we went up there and we made, I don't know if you read Douglas Adams, but I called it Life, the Universe, and Everything, Raspberry Chocolate Stout. And that was really good. And then
Chocolate Stout.
Yeah. And then another one of my favorite beer styles is ESB, which is an extra special bitter. And it's not really bitter. It's a kind of a malty English pub ale. And we did it for my buddy's wedding. It was kind of the part of the groomsman party. And then we drank it at the wedding or no, the bachelor party. And then we drank it at the wedding. And it was called Bride of the Monster. And so, which is an old Ed Wood movie, starring Tor Johnson, you know, same guy who did Plan 9 from Outer Space and is a famous, is a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode. So we, I made the whole thing of him carrying the monster or carrying the bride like the monster and made it all black and white horror themed label. It was really good. And I drank a lot of it at the wedding. I was the best man. And yeah, at the, I had so much of that beer that I was giving him wedding night tips in front of his new mother-in-law before the before I was escorted from the premises. So
oh wow, that was, this is a classic one. This is a classic episode going down. We got a classic Nate story right here.
Oh, that was a wild wedding for sure.
You know what I was just thinking? Where's the? I'm surprised there hasn't been a CTB brew, like a CTB, you know, special edition or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, no, we used to talk beer a lot more than we do because, you know, Mallory Factor was a big brewer. Nomad, who is one of our biggest commenters, owns his own hops business. He actually grows hops. Yeah, he's a hopper. And then, yeah, and I've brewed a bunch of beer. I brewed probably a half dozen more beers than that. But yeah, I really enjoy brewing, but I haven't done it in some time, so I'll have to do it again this winter.
Yeah, it was a thing. Like it was a thing people picked up because of the pandemic. I thought, you know, or I saw at least.
I was doing it before that.
Oh, sure, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. Is like. I'm surprised you didn't lean into it while you know.
I probably should have. Yeah, I probably should have. But I would definitely recommend if you're looking to get into brewing, that brew kettle setup where you go and brew on prem. By far the easiest way to get started. It's a lot of fun. They have great food, so I would totally check them out. One of the things with Thanksgiving coming up, they usually run a Black Friday special. For brew on premise, that's pretty darn good. So, so check that out. Yeah,
the expert tips here.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, not that I'm telling you to wait, but yeah, it's a pretty good setup. So, why have you ever brewed or no?
No. I had it. My best friend was super into it, so I'm familiar with it. Like at least seeing some of the process and. Just I marvel at it and have so much respect for the people who get into it, you know, because like it, you know, I realize it's a lot of hard work actually, you know what I mean?
It is, but it's actually, I think it's one of those things that is not as hard as you make it out to be. Like sure, it's okay. Just beer. There's a really good book. I think it's called The Art of Brewing. And part of it is just, it's just beer. You know, if you screw it up, it's just beer. It's pretty hard to actually screw up if you follow the instructions and you sterilize everything. Right. That's the biggest thing is just right. wild bacteria, you know, giving you some off flavors and that kind of thing is probably your biggest risk. Everything after that is not that big of a deal, especially if you're doing it on a small scale. So
right on. There you go.
So yeah, don't psych yourself out about it. It's not that hard of a hobby.
I love it. The beer, you are the brewer, the shaman brewer.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, Mr. Beer is a good place to get started if you just want an easy way to get started. So
I had no idea. See, I had no idea that you.
So in Akron. Absolutely. If you want to get into it, the other great place is the Grape and Granary, which is in the east side of Akron, and they do brewing classes. They also do winemaking classes. They are a blast. Been around forever. You know, great supplies. They do whole kits there that are really easy to follow. So that's another place that you can go to that makes it pretty easy for you. And honestly, it's not that hard because, you know, you can get kits to brew pretty much anything you want. So the big thing I would recommend is if you buy the stuff, don't let it sit around. Brew it right away because, you know, malt and hops, they deteriorate with age. So
there you go. Wow. Wow. I'm like pumped. I'm pumped about this.
Well, if you ever make it up, we should do a brew on prem for a Cavs the Brew.
That's right, Cavs the Brew. Oh my
there
goodness,
you go.
That would be fantastic. Nomad's probably gonna buy them all out from what I would
guess. I've tried to get his hops, but he's pretty cagey about his hops.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah, I've tried to get some of his hops, and he's like, nah, I think they only sell them to like big brewers, so.
Oh, wow.
So one of the things I want to do is I want to get some wild hops because where I go in Michigan a lot, the wild hops grow. And I'd love to get some wild hops and brew them.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun. Anywho, that is, you know, a more fun and less serious topic than the next topic we have to discuss. So I'm going to actually go into the break before with some lightheartedness before we get into kind of the meat and bones and dark marrow of the NBA offseason here of all the news that we've had this last week. And we'll be right back.
Well, wait. I mean,
So welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. During the break, Chris was haranguing me a little bit about, you know, the non-serious to serious transition. What was the story you were telling me?
Dude, okay, so it was a story that I learned from one of my friends in NBA chat. So one of my friends in NBA chat, he does a podcast for the Sixers. And he was listening to another Sixers podcast with, I guess, a major, you know, it was one of the big time ones with, you know, former players. It was, I don't know if it was a former players podcast or whatever, but the guy was doing an ad read and it was a 9/11 broadcast. He just got done talking about how, you know, there were kids that are now grown up that haven't had their parents, you know, because of the tragic attack and everything. And he had to do an ad read immediately into a direct TV stream ad. And it was just like, he did it with such conviction in such a deadpan way. Like, he just sold it 100%. And it was just like one of the funniest things.
like darkly humorous.
Yes, it was just like the clip is floating around on Twitter. It went viral like probably a week ago or something like that.
Oh, geez.
Like, even DirecTV even had to, like, there was some spokesperson on their Twitter feed where we apologize for this.
Like, and that was really tragic. And you know it isn't tragic? DirecTV! Yeah. Well, it's funny because I listen to a lot of true crime when I'm on road trips and stuff. I'll listen to podcasts and they have always have like these dark murders. And then it'll be like, and that's when he realized he would never see his father again. McDonald's livens up your morning. Come get a great breakfast sandwich and a cup of coffee to get you on your way. Yeah, this is too jarring.
Exactly.
Yeah, like iHeart Podcast is so bad about that. It's like, you know, read the room, guys.
Yeah, come on. I know, that's the next algorithm, right?
Yeah, if you can match the tone to the ad, you can train a AI model to do that. You make some money there.
But
the other big news this week was, of course, people in the NBA that are kind of on the fence about vaccination. Andrew Wiggins in Golden State, who is not going to be able to play at the home games if he does not get vaccinated. You know, Jonathan Isaac is, you know, loudly anti-vax, a very devout person who plays for the Magic. Of course, we have our old friend Kyrie Irving, who's right up in Rolling Stone, can be described as, you know, nothing short of nutty. Let's just put it that way. But the Rolling Stone article is a pretty rough look at Kyrie Irving. The big thing was talking about how his social media is liking some pretty crazy conspiracy theories that are on, you know, Twitter and Instagram. The article, quote, Kyrie Irving started liking and following posts from a conspiracy theorist who claims that secret societies are implanting vaccines in a plot to connect black people to a master computer for a plan of Satan. This Moderna microchip misinformation campaign has spread across multiple NBA locker rooms and group chats, according to several dozen plus current players, Hall of Famers, league executives, arena workers, and virologists interviewed for the story over the past week. They talk about his aunt. I mean, and I don't want to laugh at the guy. I don't really think it's funny.
I'm laughing it's at an ridiculousness.
No, and it's just
so preposterous.
It's an unbelievably difficult time in America because there are so many people that believe this stuff. I mean, the NBA claims 90% of its more than 450 players are vaccinated. Their most prominent vaccine endorser is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. They talked about Enes Kanter said, if you're a player and you're not vaccinated and you miss 2 or 3 weeks, it could change the whole season. And teams are trying to win championships. Grant Williams is big in the NBA union and he, you know, comes from a family of scientists, the article says. But the problem with that is that they're still, you know, using it as a method of, how do I put this? Negotiation, and it's just really difficult. And my company that I work for has basically put out a vaccine expectation, quote unquote. And a lot of people that I work with are super upset about it. And I'm like, should have done it 3 months ago. And you know, we both have significant others that work in healthcare. It's a nightmare right now. The amount of people that are in the hospital and, you know, over 90% of hospitalizations are unvaccinated people. Same thing with deaths, you know, and getting vaccinated is the number one thing that you can do to lessen your risk of dying of the virus. And it's just, it's really sad that it feels like the age of reason is coming to an end when people are talking about, you know, a satanic cabal by via the Moderna vaccine. It's just, ugh. And then you got these guys like Jonathan Isaac, and I respect Jonathan Isaac and his freedom to say and do what he wants. But at a certain point, is your convictions putting your whole team at risk, or do you deserve to be paid millions of dollars when there's a treatment that can reduce the odds of you getting seriously sick and dying from the virus? And of course, there are breakthrough infections. Kyrie Irving's aunt in this article talked a lot about it. The cover photo for this is the logo, Jerry West, holding a coronavirus ball in the NBA logo. So it's, I mean, it's just really frustrating and sad. And it's a negotiation tactic, and we're seeing it play out all over the country. I don't know. Maybe they went through this in the flu pandemic of you know, at the beginning of the 20th century. I don't know. I just wonder sometimes how many people have to die before, you know, it stops being a political football. What was it I read in Twitter? You know, Kyrie Irving is a contrarian without a cause.
Right, from Howard Bryant, yeah. He had some fire tweets.
Yeah, who's Howard Bryant?
He's a journalist. I'm not sure. I've seen him on ESPN. I'm not sure if he's still affiliated with ESPN, but he's a long form journalist, like serious sports journalist. Like I'm trying to remember the show.
Well, he's from the UK. Okay.
Like I think he used to be on that. Oh. Or something.
Yeah. No, he's not from the UK. This is a different Howard Bryant that is trying to say I'm not that Howard Bryant. Sorry. No, he is part of ESPN.
Okay, that's what I thought. And he just had a funny tweet. Like, if you find it, you can just read it. But it was just something akin to just like asking like these issues of import and like having to interview players and get their opinions on why the hell am I asking this guy? You know the Dave Chappelle bit, right? Every time there's a national tragedy, CNN interviews the rapper Ja Rule. You know, like, we need to hear the thoughts and opinions of Ja Rule on this matter, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, Dave Chappelle's like, where's Ja? Where's Ja? You know?
He just responded 13 minutes ago. He said, you know, somebody said, you guys, you're all continuing to churn with the negative Kyrie content. It's really pathetic at this point. And his response was, Kyrie is the VP of the Players Association Executive Committee. He's in a policy shaping position for the players. He's not some anonymous member of the rank and file. And I'm 100% with him. I mean, these are people that should be role models. These are people that making Kyrie Irving the vice president, a guy who always has to be the smartest guy in the room and kind of a butthole. And kind of obnoxious. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? It's super annoying. And I don't believe everything about that article, but, you know, Kyrie Irving always has to talk in riddles. And it's, you know, maddening. Just say what you believe. Try to be a leader. Don't be this contrarian to be a contrarian. And Kyrie Irving's aunt said he was talking about Dr. Falsey, blah, blah, blah. He said he's going to try and figure that out as it comes, whether he's going to seek an exemption or get vaccinated or refuse to play in Brooklyn. It's not religious based, it's morals based, is what his aunt said. What was it she said? I'd rather them working it out that way to say, hey, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't be part of a franchise that you effing helped build. But you're an employee. You didn't help build the franchise. They're paying you to play basketball games. At a certain point, availability has to be part of this. And if there is a treatment that you can take that will up your odds of being available and it's legal and encouraged, employers can mandate these things. Obviously, there's collective bargaining provision as a part of this. I don't see how you can responsibly not do that. So, but that's me. That's my take. So personally, I got in a big spat with my cousin over the vaccine mandate by Joe Biden, and basically she had put something about like, I've never felt so attacked in my life, and or something like that. I basically spent 4 hours researching a rebuttal to this and typed up like a 2600 word letter and basically put it on her Facebook feed. The next week my company came out with a vaccine expectation. You know, one of the things my company does, and I won't name the company, but it's a large company, and it's they have a very public SharePoint site, and for a long time, they allowed people to post comments on it, on the general company announcements. And of course, before they put this vaccine expectation out, they said, hey, we're going to disable comments there. And one of the things is, before they did that, I basically posted that whole article up there, and in as a response to, you know, just the vaccine misinformation out there, it's sad. I feel like we are at a crippling moment in our country's development and leadership and our strength of unity as a country. We just feel really fragmented right now. And it's obviously reflected in the NBA. And I don't know how we get past that other than figuring out some way to put this virus behind us. But it's really hard to do that when people won't take basic steps to protect themselves. I don't know. I feel like I just went on a 20-minute rant. But
no, it's you had to get on the soapbox, and
I did, and
drop the hammer, you know.
Yeah, and honestly, NBA teams that are fully vaccinated have a competitive advantage over ones that aren't.
Right. Right. No, I mean that's the big thing that I've heard. That's definitely the angle that I've heard, like, especially as it surrounds the NFL, about how the NFL was approaching like roster constructions. And Urban Meyer even got in trouble for saying that they were considering vaccination status as a not as a qualification, but like as a if
as a differentiator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess
no, and the company I work for is the same way. That's part of the quote unquote vaccine expectation that we have. They haven't said this explicitly, but my reading between the lines is, hey, if there's two people up for the same position and one of them is somebody that is refusing to get vaccinated and this person has to travel all the time for this position or all these other things, we're going to go with the person that's vaccinated. I empathize with people who feel as if their freedoms are being abridged. But the other side of that is that we live in a country, we live in a society. If you don't want to live in a society, go live in a cabin in the woods in Alaska. Otherwise, do what you need to do to participate in a society. You know, these things are safe and they're a hell of a lot safer than getting the virus itself.
Yeah, anyway. I think that's what gets me is that what I the whole thing that gets me, well, I guess there's two comments I'd have on the matter, which would be one, the mandate thing always gets me because like there was mandates prior to the COVID mandate. I remember I had to get vaccinations just to live in dorm housing in Texas. Republican ass Texas, you know, had vaccine mandates prior to living. You couldn't live in a dorm that was receiving state funding, you know, unless you were vaccinated. So
to be a part of George Washington's army, you had to get inoculated against smallpox.
Oh, I didn't know that. Damn.
Yeah, that's part of a lot of people say inoculation helped win the American Revolution.
So, yeah. So I just find the whining about it now disingenuous or in.
You yeah.
Because now they're
whining to whine.
Yeah. Now they're concerned about it. Well, you know, if you were really concerned about it, you wouldn't have let it happen in the first
place. So now the state of Florida is looking at removing mumps and measles vaccine requirements.
I know. We'll show you.
Yeah. Dying to own the libs. And I don't want to make this a political podcast. We've steered away from politics a lot on this podcast, but it's the difference between a functioning society and a fragmented society that's falling apart.
Yeah. Well, the big question I wonder is, so, I mean, do you think he's going to play?
Like, who, Kyrie? No, I think he's going to try and get out of playing. And I think Kyrie wants to get paid but doesn't want to play. You know, I think that's exactly what Kyrie wants. Kyrie wants a sign and retire contract. I don't think he has any desire to actually play basketball, but he still likes having money, as most of us do.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, and the funny thing is he had a great season last year. And when he wants to play basketball, he's really good at it. But he has a hard time staying healthy. It clearly isn't his top focus. He's clearly a giant pain in the butt, but he's a super talented pain in the butt. So, you know, he thinks of himself as some kind of eccentric genius. And it's just kind of exhausting at times.
Yeah, but he hit the shot. So
he did. So we'll talk more about it after the break. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. So, yeah, that was heavy. Sorry. But, you know, on to things to look forward to, I guess. You got anything to pitch this week, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. You had mentioned it before, and now the trailer has dropped for Netflix is apparently producing The Sandman.
Yeah.
So Netflix hopefully is going to do a good job with it. I bet it seems like they dumped a lot of money into it. So
yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out this fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we got Wheel of Times coming out on Amazon. We've got Dune. The new Dune's coming out in October. You know, I think we talked about the David Lynch Dune a couple weeks ago, which was a seminal part of my childhood. My dad loved it. Oh, my God. My dad loved that movie. We watched it so many times.
Really?
And it's...
So your dad so
it's very weird. It's a very weird movie.
That's crazy. So what did he love about
My dad loves sci-fi. I love sci-fi. So we're both... I mean, my dad is a huge Star Wars fan. Was a huge Star Wars fan. These new movies are like... But... I liked The Force Awakens and hated the other two, but I liked Rogue One and I liked Solo. So, but yeah, I'm excited about, there's a couple new shows coming up on Apple TV. There's a show called Foundation, which is like at the galaxy a galaxy level civilization is collapsing, seems to be the premise. And then there's another.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and there's another show called Invasion coming up on Apple TV. So Apple TV, a lot of good stuff.
And I think Apple TV is also doing Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol, aren't they?
That isn't a plus in my book, but although, yeah, I think they are because, you know, and it's funny. I watched Ted Lasso in one of the recent Ted Lasso. He's, of course, reading the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, is he?
Or one of the characters. Roy Kent is reading the Da Vinci Code.
I never read the books, but I enjoyed the movies. Well, I'd heard Lost Symbol was supposed to be the best book.
Oh, okay. Well, and there's a new movie coming out, a new Tom Hanks movie coming out on Apple TV. And it's kind of like Castaway meets WALL-E. He's a guy in a post-apocalyptic. And he builds his own robot because he's lonely and he has a dog and a robot and he has to get away from that. Yeah, this is the premise. Like it is. It's Castaway meets WALL-E. It looks entertaining though. So there's a lot of stuff coming out. Are you a Wheel of Time guy?
No, I had no idea what you Google it. Yeah.
So that's a famous, probably before Game of Thrones was the most famous fantasy novel series outside of Lord of the Rings, which of course is also coming to Amazon. I'm almost wondering if they're just going to reuse the sets from Wheel of Time for Lord of the Rings. I don't know if it's called Lord of the Rings they're calling it or whether they're calling it Middle Earth, but there's a whole Tolkien series coming to Amazon, but I don't have a release date on that one. So there's a ton of stuff to look forward to this fall for sure.
Yeah, you had all of them, man.
Yeah,
like you got the whole roster.
So have you seen Good Omens?
No. Oh no, I haven't. But I've heard of it. It's
So another Neil Gaiman based on a novel did.
Was it based on Sandman as well?
No, it's based on Good Omens, a novel he did.
Oh, okay.
It's a fantastic series. I'm trying to remember who's in it. But yeah, it's really well done. It's Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman wrote the novel. And then David Tennant and Michael Sheen star in the series, and Frances McDormand's in it. And it was just renewed. It was renewed for a second season. So they're producing the second season now. And of course, the first season only covers the novel. So this is all new material in the new season. You know, one of the best castings in the show is John Hamm plays the Archangel Gabriel. And he's a big giant blowhard and just like completely fake. And it's super funny in the show. But Michael Sheen's great in it, as is David Tennant. So it's a really entertaining show. I didn't love the end of it, but it was still really well done.
Okay.
So if you're a Neil Gaiman fan, that's definitely worth watching.
I haven't binged in a long time. It's been a while since I've binged. So
yeah, that guy's got a lot going on right now.
There you go. I love it. You know, I love it. So I was a huge. Like I said, I've been a huge fan of Lucifer. I still haven't plowed my way through that, but I'm super excited about that still. So, yep.
Did I tell you about the Velocipastor?
No, what's that?
Oh, so the Velocipastor is one of the great movies on Amazon Prime. And let me read you the premise here because it is fantastic. The premise of the Velocipastor, after losing his parents, a priest travels to China, where he inherits a mysterious ability that allows him to turn into a dinosaur. At first horrified by this new power, a hooker convinces him to use it to fight crime and ninjas.
Wow.
And it is just
gold.
It is B-movie glory. It is obviously very tongue-in-cheek, very aware of its own shortcomings. One of the funny scenes is early in the movie, there is a car bomb. That's how his parents die, and just the car disappears, and just the words on the screen appear that say "visual effects car on fire."
No way!
Yeah, it's so fantastic.
That is great.
Yeah, and the raptor suit is basically an inflatable dinosaur costume.
Oh my god!
It is so great. Oh, so you will enjoy it immensely if you enjoy bad movies. So
wow,
check out the Velocipaster. And I and check out Media Day for the Cavs tomorrow.
That's right.
And training camp opening next week. Lots of exciting things. Maybe next week Ben Simmons will be a Cavalier or a Minnesota Timberwolf or a Sacramento King. You know, there's all sorts of things that could happen. So pretty exciting stuff, and we'll be there to talk about it. You know, coming up on our next podcast, hopefully we'll have some division previews, maybe some over-unders. And as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire.
And we're out.